Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 654. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
You guys want to have a really fun time? Ask Walt what day it is.
Walt is here as well, and he does not know what day it is. He's thought it was a day ahead since Monday.
Yep. I skipped Monday. I thought it was Tuesday.
He kept messaging us.
And I was like, even work, I was working faster than I should have because I thought I was behind on my deadline, and I ended up having Friday off now because I got ahead so much of myself. So congrats to me.
Was funny.
That's better than being a day behind.
That's true.
Yes.
Immediately, I mean, Walt keeps track of our football picks, and immediately after the game ended on Monday, you were like, I need your picks, guys. And I'm like, the game just ended. Like, we're getting, it's a little early.
Yeah.
And then you did it again on Tuesday. Then you started betting on Tony.
Right. Well, because I was the only one who hadn't put him in. And I'm like, well, it's Wednesday. Calm down.
Like, I literally went to sleep Monday and completely blocked out that I experienced the Monday and woke up feeling a day ahead. I don't know. It's weird. I'm, you know, the world, messes with people's minds, and it messed with mine this week, I guess.
Well, I mean, enjoy your day off, and that'll be good. You know, like a nice long weekend going into the Dolphins Kansas City game. So,
yeah, go sleep early so I can watch it.
Yeah, it's a 9 a.m. Tony's not even going to watch it. He's going to be asleep. It's like, that's a 6 a.m. game out in Phoenix, though.
Yeah.
Insane. Earl is, he is out tonight. We think he might join us. And Jeff is in the mountains of Tennessee.
In a cabin in the woods.
He showed a picture of that on his socials last night. It was like, that is a terrifying image. Like, it straight up looks like a horror film cabin.
Wait. I yes, Tennessee's scary, but in Tennessee's defense, Jeff takes the worst pictures on the planet. So maybe during the daylight, that place would be great.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an added,
it's probably the most beautiful cabin in the world, but Jeff has framed it in such a way that it looks like it's, you know, the seventh layer of hell.
Yeah. It's I don't remember if it was on Facebook or if it was on Twitter. He also does like a walkthrough of the place, and it's nice on the inside, but that outside shot is like straight out of like a low budget horror film. This is nightmarish. Yeah, so good luck, Jeff. Hope you survive Tennessee.
And we love your collection of shirts you debuted this week. I especially like the one that says that you need help beating Souls games.
I mean, to be fair, Jeff has never been like, I am the Souls master. Like,
he did absolutely. I remember those podcasts. He was telling you guys, I'll carry you.
Oh well, yes. Like, but he's already beaten the games at that point. Yeah. Like, we're not through like the first 10 minutes of the game. Like this shit sucks. It's not fun. I will help you. I think he probably could help us through those early parts.
Absolutely. But look, I tease him. I don't care. Like, take advantage. Like, to me, you know, I'm a lone wolf kind of player. I'm like most of you guys. I tend to, my gaming experiences are like my time to disconnect, so I don't really do multiplayer much.
Yeah.
To me, the Souls games are like a single player experience, and it's obvious that they add the co-op as an afterthought because it's not very easy to get into. Him, that's his main appeal. He likes to go on Reddit and find strange men to help him beat bosses online. I made that sound odder than it should, but...
You did. You made it sound kind of like predatory and rapey.
So Jeff and I recorded our movie show on Halloween, he was a little late for that because he was on Reddit. He was trying to get somebody to help him. And he was like, this guy was terrible. like this guy didn't even know how to play like at all. And he was like, "Yeah, I'll help you."
So. That, to me, it's such a dangerous.
I'll distract the boss with my corpse.
Yeah. Reddit is such a dangerous platform for me. It's crazy that you can even find anyone that play with him on there and not be like, hey, give me some Bitcoin or some shit, you know?
I mean, to be fair, that's anywhere, right? Like,
yes,
I get if you play any multiplayer games, I played some of that Party Animals game, right? Like with you guys. And then all of a sudden I started getting messages from people that we played with. Like, man, like there are scammers everywhere. Mm.
This is true, man. This is true.
Yeah, so those two are out this week. We do have a little bit of news, actually more news than I was expecting. I guess we'll jump into that. Bungie laid off a bunch of people. You guys hear about that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, the way they did it seemed extremely shitty.
Yeah, but, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe some of the laid off employees, some of the employees that stayed, have confirmed that they built this really expensive new headquarters, and they reassured everybody that we were all good. Sony bought us; nothing changes. And then they announced this.
Yeah, so I don't know about that part, but there are definitely some like weird, shady shit going on around the acquisition that Sony had of them. And some of it comes back to like when the purchase happened, you know, they give everybody that had shares or whatever, like, oh, we're going to pay you out X amount as long as you stay with Sony, with Bungie Sony for X amount of time. And so like, there's a ton of people that, and a ton of money that was owed that they're just cutting, like, which is really shitty because it happens all the time, but like some of the other shit that's coming out around this, also horrible. Like benefits are getting cut. They did this on the 30th, so in some cases, every benefit except healthcare. Originally, I thought healthcare was included too, except healthcare. Gone as of November 1st. Healthcare sticks with them through their severance. So I don't know what. I mean, everybody's severance will be different, probably based on tenure, but. At least they have that for a little bit, but yeah, they lost the unvested shares. And the big kind of shitty piece was there was a all hands on meeting after everybody was laid off. And these people implied the executives implied that the people they laid off weren't pulling their weight. And that the people that we kept are the ones that are going to, you know, help make Destiny 2, you know, a place to go again, make Marathon a game that people want to play. Like, and you're like just throwing salt on the wound at that point. Like,
yeah.
Really? Isn't this all stuff, like, against the backdrop of Destiny 2 missing its numbers, like, horribly? Yeah.
Yes.
Like, by 50% or something?
Yeah, it's really bad. Like, and this is at. Bungie was specifically acquired by Sony because they wanted to shift to this game's a service model. And Bungie not hitting their own numbers internally seems to have PlayStation up in arms. Like they don't seem to be in a good spot right now.
Yeah, my understanding of to maybe justify that shitty executive's point of view, which is shitty and garbage. But just to kind of give a different perspective, my understanding of the culture at Bungie was that you had to be a diehard believer from day one. You had to live and breathe Marathon lore. You know, that you had to, like, it was almost like it in some cases, like if you had to prove how hardcore of a Bungie guy you were, and you have favoritism. So that might be his, like, rah rah, only the really hardcore are staying here. But it is just such a shit way to treat people in this year of gaming, where like there's so many layoffs.
It's been a horrible year for that. Also, like, the people that are left behind are also impacted by layoffs, right? Like, your friends have been gone, and you're going to take on more work because somebody has to do the work that was being done by those people. So now you basically like shit on their friends, and you're going to do their work too. Like, this seems really like just out of touch, some of these executives.
Plus, you know what's going to happen. Like, all three of us specifically have worked at corporations. In about 3 months, some of those people are going to come back at really shitty wages as a contractor for a very limited amount of time. When they get behind schedules and deadlines because they don't have the people to keep up.
Yep. And I guess that was the other piece that kind of came out of this. And with all these layoffs, they have pushed the next Destiny 2 expansion. It was supposed to come out this year. It was already pushed to February of next year. Now it's being pushed to June of next year. And Marathon, which they debuted something over the summer, one of the PlayStation events, that was supposed to come out next year, that is now being pushed to 2025. So, Bungie does not seem in a good spot.
Which kind of like is salt to the wound, I guess, or not hindsight, I guess, not salt to the wound. Remember when PlayStation bottom and the whole console war side, like, PlayStation 1. You'd never really fucking know how these things turn out, you know?
And like one, what you want a studio, like they bought a studio that has already left Xbox. They didn't want to be with that. They bought themselves back from Xbox. They didn't want to be with them anymore.
Remember, it was one of those situations where Xbox had announced all these pickups, and then the merger was still, I think it was an early announcement or a rumor or something at the time. And then Sony just said, we got Bungie, and all the Sony heads were celebrating, you know, like, oh, that's it. Yeah, we don't need anybody else. First party and Bungie. That's all we need.
And yeah. When they bought Bungie, it was when Sony was really pushing to stop the acquisition of Activision.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought that they were going to actually be able to do it. Like, That didn't work, but Xbox bought Activision.
The greater point is you never really know how these turn out. Even the Microsoft acquisitions,
we don't know
how the products are going to turn out. We don't know how the people in those buildings, their security down the road, you just don't know.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, what Microsoft bought was Activision IP, right? They took on like another 8,000 employees or whatever. But they made that acquisition because they needed stuff for their service. And Sony bought Bungie because Bungie has experience, maybe very good experience, doing a games as service, being as they are one of the most successful and long running of those types. But yeah, nobody knows how this shit's going to play out. So
yeah,
it's weird that you get on the console war train.
And a weird side effect of this announcement and all the bad PR and all that stuff is apparently the player base dropped even more because they're mad at Bungie for the way they treated employees on the way out. So, like, who knows if they bounce back at this point?
Let's just jump right into the Xbox news, is that they're cutting the ability to use unlicensed peripherals, so like, you know, the cheap controllers and shit, stuff that like, you might, you know, controllers are expensive. They're, yes. If you buy it, what's an actual Xbox controller cost? $70 at this point?
I think it's 70 for the brand new ones, and then 60 for like the ones that have been out for a while.
Yeah, and similar for the PlayStation, right?
The PlayStation's like lock 70.
Yeah. So like that's the cost of a game. So like, you know, some people that have kids, they may buy a cheap, especially like younger kids. Kids break shit.
Yeah.
You might buy a cheaper controller. Yeah.
When I was in college, I mean, I couldn't afford stuff. So I had all like the unlicensed controllers. Like I had a bunch of them. And, you know, there was the one that always drifted to the, like, some of them sucked.
Yeah.
But, and you're like, you didn't want to be the guy who got the one that always drifted to the left or whatever. But, you know, you may do because, like, you're a poor college student. That's what you got. Those are the people who are most affected by this shit.
Yeah. So that they're not allowing this stuff. And, like, their whole reasoning behind it seems to be, like, we're trying to stop cheaters. And but, like, all you're doing is driving people away from your platform. Like, when you put these weird restrictive things in, people get angry, and then they don't want to do it. Like, the fighting game community is really up in arms. Not that there were a lot of fighting game tournaments on Xbox anymore, but yeah, the ones that are basically done now.
Yeah, so
we're gonna shift over to different platforms, and you piss off your user base, they're not going to buy your product.
And the funny thing is, like, they're restricting this, but, like, if I would have been there, I would have been like, all right, if we're going to restrict this, let's introduce a budget level controller, right? So they can be like, we understand some of you are going to be affected financially because of this. You're forced to buy either a $60 or $70 controller. Here's a $30 controller out the gate. It works perfectly well, wired, whatever, you know what I mean? To actually show at least, like, from their perspective that they have that mindset in mind instead of like, oh, cheaters, buy expensive shit, you know?
Yeah. And that seems to be the cheater piece is what seems to be the driving behind this, is that, you know, I guess there's ways with controllers to introduce hacks and stuff into games. And
absolutely.
Like mod a controller so that, you know, it hits the A button automatically or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, because, you know, I've been having controller issues this generation. It might be
because
me.
Because you grip them just, with, like, death.
Maybe, right? But I didn't have this issue with the previous generation controllers. That's the part that's killing me, because I'm like, well, why didn't I have the same issue before? Like, I had literally the same two controllers the entire generation.
Your hands have to buy just anything. Become that much more powerful.
You're just like, you're gripping tighter.
or maybe I'm just playing a lot more because pandemic time just really did bring up my playtime hours. Maybe I'm just running them down faster or something. I have no idea. So I looked into controllers, right? And for the existing Xbox controllers, you can literally install like an extra motherboard to run LED lights inside of it. They sell that out online right now. It's just it takes very little effort to do it too. It's not overly complex. And for the modding communities, these guys, they change they take everything out, and all they keep is the same two components, right? The little circuit board that registers the buttons and the directions and all that stuff, and they change everything out. They put mechanical buttons on there, mechanical D-pads. And they overclock the controllers. Maybe that's what they're getting mad at, that they're going in there and changing, you know, their flash or whatever the drives inside the controllers that are pre-built. Mm-hmm. And people are getting creative. Like, people who want to have like that, oh, look, my controller can keep up with my reaction time or some shit, you know?
Yeah. No idea why it would go around doing this, but it does seem they've seemingly pissed off a bunch of people. And for me, I mean, I use first party hardware for the most part, but I do have like a non-standard Xbox 360 controller plugged into my 360. And now I'm wondering, like, if, you know, the 360 is what, 15 years old or something at this point?
Yeah,
maybe a little bit older than that, actually, coming up on 20 years. What happens when the Series X is 20 years old and you can't get a new Series X controller or an Xbox One controller? And it is just these like off-brand USB controllers. Like, is that going to be, are you going to be able to use these systems then? Or,
I mean, at this point, like, once they stop supporting the online service for a platform, like, you're just going to have a collector's item at home, basically.
It's just going to be a big brick that doesn't do anything.
So, like, I don't think they have that in mind in the future. But for anyone out there who's concerned and doesn't have the cash, it doesn't take a lot of mechanical inclination to fix these controllers. Because I've been dealing with, like, I've been fixing broken soldering inside because I sent it in and it came back in worse shape than I had it in the first place. You know, I fix analog sticks, buttons. It's actually very, very cheap to correct it yourself. And all it takes is two specialty screwdrivers to actually open that thing up completely.
Yeah, it's like one of those weird, it's like a weird screwdriver, right? Like, yeah. It's very, very particular mechanical screwdriver. Yeah,
like torque twist 6 and 8, I think of the two, there was something like that. And additionally, like, I'm actually so, like, I'm venting now. I'm sorry, guys. I'm actually so disappointed in my first party luck picking up controllers that I picked up a wired controller that has Hall Effect sticks. So, like, I'm guaranteed never to have stick drift. And it was only $42. It's a company called GameSir SE, G7 SE. And it's supposedly they have a back buttons, and you can program it right from the Xbox. They have an app that Xbox approved because it's an approved controller for them.
Yep.
And they're supposedly releasing a patch that could be out right now. I'm actually not sure. That's going to make it the fastest Xbox controller out, period. It's going to be like 1,000 hertz of response time for this thing, which is apparently like stupid fast.
So what you're saying is we won't be able to steal your forklift. She'll just be that much faster than us.
No, that unfortunately that will always happen because you obviously hate me.
It can still put a sticky grenade in your forklift.
That's right. That's
the goal. Yes.
Yeah. You might be faster than us, but
I'm so excited to get something that I know it's gonna last a while. Cause I've just had really it's so frustrating to be standing there like I'm playing like multiplayer, you guys, and my character starts looking up and I'm not even touching the controller. I'm like, what the fuck? You know,
that is wild. Like it's all anecdotal. Tony and I and you, like, we're just comparing each other's experiences here. But I've had no problem with this generation of controllers. I did have some issue with the Xbox One.
Yeah,
specifically the left stick on them seemed to be going bad, but I haven't had an issue this time. So it's wild that, like, now you're just running into some rough time.
I almost bought the Elite Series 2, and then I went to some forums. I was like, what's the reliability on this thing? Dude, it was like 1 in 5. There's some kind of failure. Either a trigger, an analog stick, or a button. There's failures all over the place. I guess the failure rate on these is much higher than it was previously.
And even previous on the original one, like, they seem to have some faults too, like where the analog sticks would go bad really quick. So,
because you adjust the tension, right, to make it stiffer, but apparently they did nothing on the actual spring itself to make it be able to sustain that much extra tension over time. So the spring gives out, and you have a loose stick.
I'm not spending what are one of those $150?
Keep seeing them
on sale. It's
cheaper now.
SRP 180, usually 160 on sale.
And then I think there's like that newer one too that, like, what doesn't come with all the bells and whistles or all the extra parts, I guess.
If you want to buy,
but it, like, probably has all the parts you actually want.
Yeah.
But if you buy the extra parts, apparently it comes out to being like $212 instead of just $200.
Yeah, that's a lot for a controller.
That's a lot. That's why I went with this $40 one that everyone's going crazy online, because they're like, I'll go back to wires if it means like it's not going to fail on me. Because apparently there's a lot of people out there like me who just had horrendous luck with controllers.
And well, wire controllers always, you know, I find use for wire controllers anyway, because I could plug it into my laptop or into my PC. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can move around. And not that you can't, like, you can plug in a wireless controller to your PC as well. You just need to have a cable for it. But
yeah,
it's just easier to be able to, you know, pop from the console directly to your PC.
Again, my wired Xbox 360 controllers still work. The ones I bought for PC, they still work. No issues whatsoever.
Continuing on with Microsoft, seems that some Microsoft employees, they one of the perks they were getting was that they were getting a Game Pass Ultimate for free for working there. Mm-hmm. Microsoft is taking that away.
I mean, just spend more time getting your rewards points.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
I mean, I guess they could do that. They could join the rest of us plebes and farm rewards.
Do it points. While you're at work. Like, literally, you're searching on Edge. You're doing work for Microsoft.
Yeah.
That's like when I left the game industry and Steam took away my press account where I was getting free games. I didn't get mad. So that's just the way it goes. Comes and goes, yeah. Right?
But I guess like this was a company wide. It wasn't just for Xbox employees. So like they're taking this away from 238,000 employees.
Oh shit!
And it's not that they're taking it full. Like they will still be able to buy discounted some subs, but that sucks. That like. You got to now buy like a 12-month sub through the store, and you can use your employee discount, but you don't get it for free anymore. not a big deal. It's just another thing where like companies are just, they seem out of touch with what's going on.
You know, they removed that perk from like, you know, working at Microsoft, and they probably added like free ping pong ball at the break room.
Yeah. Something that costs Microsoft nothing.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, if you can get 240,000 people to buy into Game Pass, bet that increases your revenue a little bit. Mm-hmm. Even if only half of those people do it.
That'll cover a quarter of the lawyers that needed to for the acquisition.
Yeah, those lawyers, I'm sure, get paid a nice sum, but also Microsoft is just swimming in money. They don't really need it. It's just what, like, this decision just doesn't make sense. Like, why take shit away from your employees?
But this is what happens when, like, you let the financial community rule your decision making. It's like the pressure to increase profits constantly makes you do stupid shit like this.
Yeah,
like just to get that little tiny bit more.
Yeah,
we gotta get a little more in the balance sheet.
I mean, the government contracts alone they have will make sure they always have profits.
Oh yeah,
that's the part that kills me.
Like, I mean, they are a worldwide megacorp.
Multi-government entities have defense contracts with them,
and they still run the operating system on what, like 90% of all computers in the world.
That's
like,
never gonna change. That's never gonna change. Yeah.
No. Like, nobody's moving to Linux.
No.
Everyone always threatens, but they never really do it.
Yeah, because once you start using Linux, you're like, this sucks. Like, I just want to click on shit and make it work. It's like,
exactly.
And it's not like, I'm sure Linux is great. Like, the few times I've used Unix, like, it's fine. It is just not, it's just not the standard. And like, Windows is the standard at this point. Even using a Mac, which is good. It's like this isn't the same as like my work computer or anything else. Like, just why can't it all be the same? Speaking of shitty corporations, though, GameStop in the news. Kotaku has Kotaku always has interesting headlines. I'll say, I won't say they're always good, But they're always eye-catching. And this one was GameStop keeps finding new ways to rip people off.
Ouch.
it's pretty brutal. They're raising, just on the employee side, they're raising employee healthcare by double. And these people, the people that work stores, aren't making a ton of money to start with. So, you know, if you're an assistant manager or a manager there, you're not like making bank. You're making enough to get by, and now GameStop is increasing your health plan, double the cost to you. So that's kind of shitty. Mm-hmm. But then on the consumer side, their pro membership, which I don't have anymore because I have not been into a GameStop in 2+ years now.
I don't think you're missing out on anything, because from my understanding, the Best Buy ones, it actually gives you better rewards.
I'm sure it does. Like, I haven't been in a Best Buy either, because I just don't... If I buy a physical game, I just have it sent to me.
Yeah.
And I don't buy a lot of physical games anymore.
Right? I try to avoid it as much as possible. I think I bought one this year. NBA 2K24 was the only physical game I bought myself.
Yeah, I mean... to me, it's just like, if I can buy it, it's going to cost me the same on my PlayStation or my Xbox. I might as well just get it digitally and download it. I know for some, like, you know, you have bandwidth restrictions and stuff, so you might not be able to do that. But I don't have that issue, and Tony, doesn't sound like you do either. So
nope.
It's like, and there's always sales. There's always sales on both. All three platforms, actually. In fact, we're coming up real soon on... There'll be like a week and a half of crazy sales on games that are brand new, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure Mirage is going to be like $35 on Xbox or PlayStation in 2 weeks. So
it's cheap already.
But their pro membership, they used to get like a $5 monthly coupon. I guess you still will get it, but you used to be able to use it on anything. Anything you could buy at GameStop, including like gift cards or digital like stuff, like you want to buy an Xbox gift card or something, or get a digital code, because they do sell codes on their site. You can't use that $5 coupon anymore. It has to be on a physical item, and that's it. So they're limiting the way you can use it. Your new member benefit, which used to give you 10,000 points, which was like a free $10 reward, has been cut in half. So now if you join up with their pro membership, you only get $5 reward to start. And they're eliminating the renewal reward for people that are, you know, renewing their membership.
Because that's all you want to do is discourage people from renewing. That's right. Great. It's a great, great idea. Great business plan.
I think the shittiest part of that particular finding was that if you bought a PlayStation and they suckered you into the $55 warranty and something breaks, they've been directed by corporate to replace that broken one with a used refurbished one they have at the store.
Yep. Yeah. And then if they don't have it, they're like, you got to go to another GameStop to get your system. Like, even though they have PlayStation 5s there,
they won't give them a new one.
Yep. That's absolutely shitty as well. So yeah, GameStop.
Don't buy shit there.
Don't shop there. Don't go in.
Don't go. Like, I'm sorry for the people who work there. I know it sucks to say stuff like that. You know, drive business away from a company. But, dude, they're such a predatory company at this point.
It's a great labor market right now. You know, might be a good time to move on to a company that's not evil.
And
good luck finding one.
And that, well, yeah, that might be the hardest part, Tony.
Yeah.
There has to be better retail jobs out there if you want to stay in retail than a company that I don't expect will be talking about in 5 years.
Do they still exist? This is the part
that kills me.
It feels like it's been like 15 years of this and they're still alive. They're still around.
Yeah. I mean, they keep rebranding themselves. Like, it's still GameStop. They still sell games. But like the last time I walked by one in a mall, but it was filled with like knickknacks and shit. It wasn't game stuff. It was like,
I go with my kids sometimes and that's what they buy, like Pokemon stuffies. They don't buy games. Why would you buy a game there?
Yeah, it's like the hot topic for gamers.
It's the other stuff. It's like the
item of the month kind of shit.
What are those little statue things called?
The big didn't heads. They buy out the ThinkGeek inventory and they throw it all into their stores?
Well, they bought ThinkGeek, yeah.
Yeah, so they have all those, like, remember those cool little lamps and stuff like that are like gaming related. They're all part of the GameStop master inventory now. When you buy in Amazon on ThinkGeek, the Amazon store, that's all coming from them.
And before like, you know, the ThinkGeek and all the knickknacks and shit that they now sell, they were trying to like get you to, they were trying to be like a used phone and tablet reseller. Yeah.
That's right.
They keep trying to do my buddy weird Jeff, shit.
He's like, fuck it, I'm out of here. That's when Jeff was like completely fed up because they were making him a salesperson full time, like basically.
Yeah. Well, and they still hold you accountable to like sell those warranties and the markups, and it's all nonsense. Like as Tony said, we're not sure how they're staying in business, so. All right, that's it for news. Real quick before we move on to games we've been playing, though, I saw Five Nights at Freddy's. That's based on a video game, so I guess it's kind of topical. I don't know anything about Five Nights at Freddy's, though, as a game.
Oh, you mean like one of the highest horror films of the year, Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah, I mean, it was the number one film. It knocked Taylor Swift out of the top spot at the box office.
$132.6 million was the global numbers for it.
Yeah, which is also nuts because it was available on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could just stream it there. And Peacock is, I guess it's $10 a month, but like I don't know, that's cheaper than a movie ticket. So, yeah, I don't know anything about Five Nights at Freddy's, though. Like, as a video game, I don't know anything about it. I know it's super popular. They've made, like, 20 of these things. There are spin-offs to spin-offs of it.
Yeah.
The movie was not good, though. Awesome concept. I love the concept. It is, like, haunted Chuck E. Cheese, right? Like, the animatronics come to life and they murder you. That seems cool to me. Like that's a cool, fun concept. This was super boring. But it did great at the box office, so I'm sure we're gonna get like 17 more of these.
Well, I mean, it's
horror movie
it's,
you can take your children to.
Yeah. It came from that era when Slender Man was around. Remember those kind of like cult like following horror games? But this one was actually playable. I don't know if anyone actually goes back and plays the original Slender Man. That's barely a game. That shit's not really playable. You know, it's a very rough game. And this one, I just carried on because I think it was just, it was almost like a roller coaster. You got on and shit happened and it made you jump and blah, you know. And from what I've seen online, like people who grew up on that stuff, they're flipping out because they stay for the after credits because apparently like there was a rumble of a noise or a laugh of one of the puppets that shows up in a sequel.
Oh,
that was teased at the end. So they're flipping out. They're like, oh my God, it's happening. They're adding whatever. And I'm like, what?
So yeah, I don't know anything. You're like, you just said a whole bunch of words. I don't know any of them.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm glad you like it, man. Good for you. I'm sorry you hated Star Wars, but this is your thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that like they you know, that generation of kids like has something that they can latch onto. I feel like a really old person right now going, this, it's just not a good movie. Like, it's just not good.
Yeah.
Like, I am fine with, like, quirky shit and, like, kids, like, liking shit, but, like, generally, yeah. Like, I could see something good in it. And the only thing that I found out of here was, like, the animatronics looked great. They're done by the Henson Company. And Matthew Lillard is in it for, I don't know, about 3 minutes, and he's a blast. Like, he seems to be loving the fact that he is in this film. Mostly because, like, what has he been doing other than being the voice of Shaggy for the last 20 years? Like, I don't know. I'm glad that it did well, I guess. Like, it's, we don't play Five Nights at Freddy's, so I guess there's no, like, we just don't understand it.
No, I guess we missed out on that whole, like, amnesia type of games where it's just make jump scares, you know, Outlast, that stuff. There's people who love that stuff. They live for that.
I mean, I love Outlast. I like Amnesia. And you're right. Like, I think that this was probably a game that it was big with the streaming community, wasn't it? Like, I don't know how many kids played it, but they watched people play it. They watched people like do the jump scares and stuff. Like, that was fun for them. So maybe that's a big thing. And I don't know. It's out there. It's on Peacock if you want to watch it. I don't recommend it, but it's there. What have you guys been playing this week?
You want to start, Tony? You want me to go?
You can go. I do have some things. Go ahead.
Okay. So I finished Life of P. Mm-hmm. Which my phone keeps correcting to Life of Pi.
That's something completely different.
Yes.
Pi.
Also something completely different.
Yes. I was thinking about that movie with the tire, but okay. I beat it. It was hard for me to get into because it tries to be Bloodborne.
Yep.
So much. That someone who platinum Bloodborne just makes me kind of be like, "Dad, just give me Bloodborne. I don't need this shit, right?" And the story itself, a lot of people, it's hit or miss whether you get into the story or not. Being a puppet and you know, in the puppet world with people with shady intentions and stuff like that, right? But ultimately, I beat it because the weapon system is really cool. You can literally mix any handle and any blade between any of the weapons in the game. So if
how long does it take before they kind of show you that and like that when you can start like upgrading your weapons and stuff? Because I played through the first boss and got to the hub area and I still hadn't figured out how to do it, and I was like, I'm done.
You have to get through the next area, which is like a factory.
Okay.
And rescue an NPC, and then the game officially opens up. Well, temporarily, and then they add something else for your spirit things, but that's optional. So I say you beat that area in the game, the major game mechanics open up. So I really enjoy that, right? So like, let's say you have like a cool ass hammer, but it's just way too heavy. You can take the hammer part and put in like a dagger handle on it and swinging around and fuck people up, right? Pretending to be Thor. And just be creative that way, right? Or switch it. You know, there's a lot of options. So that's what kept me going.
The speed of the dagger, but like the damage of the hammer?
But it's not as fast as the dagger. You can swing it like a dagger, meaning it's faster than like a big, giant, like, you know, imagine a soul's hammer that's like three times the size of you.
Yay.
Instead of a slow animation, it's faster. It's a limited range, but you don't want... It's a compromise, right? So it has all those kind of options where you can really do develop how you want to play your character. By a little over halfway of the game, I had enough materials, and I wasn't even trying to find secrets, right? I had enough materials to max out one of the weapons already. By the time I beat the game, I maxed out like four or five weapons. So I completely felt overpowered to take on the final boss. Like the reason why it was a struggle is because the game goes from like, okay, you can either dodge or parry or use your arm. There's an arm you can unlock to block, you know, and can get away from that stuff. And all of a sudden, the final bosses are a series of like two-phase bosses. So you get, you beat a boss and then goes to phase two and he has full life again and he attacks you again, right? So, okay, whatever. You get through that guy. The next guy is, again, he's faster. You kill him and he comes back again even faster. So that's how they kind of test you. So it goes from like trying to be Bloodborne where like timing your dodges and hitting someone, you know, dodge, hit, you know, get away. It goes from that to Sekiro where it's like you can't dodge this shit because it's too fast and the range is too big. You have to learn how to parry this motherfucker. Otherwise, like, you know, just invest everything you have in life into your fatality and hope that you can you survive long enough and heal enough to chip away and win. So I felt it was like it was cheap. All of a sudden, your weapons are completely overpowered. So the way they counteract that is like they make the final bosses so much more faster that you had to completely change the way you play. You had to play how they want you to play.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan. Even me as a Bloodborne guy, right? But I beat it. It's out of the way. I kind of see where they're building. There's an end credit scene, which it doesn't even matter, right? I don't think you guys are gonna invest much time into this game, right? At this point,
is there
probably not.
Is there Pinocchio lore?
It's actually more like a fable lore because they say like she's still in, like there's a voice says she's still on a loose. She's been spotted. And it's a girl with red slippers, and it's Dorothy from Wizard of Oz. I guess that's
like, I like that's neat. Like that.
Yeah, that might be the sequel. She seems to be like the next main character.
Dorothy in a Souls like it's nuts. I like it's goofy enough that like I would watch somebody play it if the story was interesting enough.
The problem is the story's there, but you have to go out of your way to make sense of it because it's preset in a soul's way. So okay. It feels like optional or an afterthought. It's not front and center. It's not. It's not what we're used to in like a big lore story driven way. Where it's like at least there's points where like they explain things. Everything's mysterious. Everyone seems to have like a hidden agenda and stuff, you know. And the whole like lie or truth situation impacts your ending. There's four endings, and based on how much you lie and how much you tell the truth in those choices. So it has a lot of things going. So there's ways to like really chum it out and stuff, but it feels. To me, I don't feel I never like right now. Like I beat Bloodborne, and I wanted to dive right back in. Right, it got to the point where I platinumed the damn thing. I was doing all those optional dungeons, like night after night after night. Right.
Yeah.
With this, I kind of feel like I'm cool. Good job. Good first try. Like I'm glad there's going to be a lot of fans for P. Going forward. But like to me, it's like I'm glad it was on Game Pass, you know, because if it would have released like Lords of the Fallen, I would have had to make a choice: which one do I want to try, you know? And it sounds like both would have disappointed me at this point.
I mean, there. This seems to be with all these kind of inspired by the Souls type games. Like,
yeah,
they're just not quite as good as the FromSoft stuff. But like, if you're looking for that type, like, it seems that these are good enough.
Yeah, to hold and at least over. This one technically is sound. It's a very solid game. They just do some weird things at the end that force you to, mm-hmm. if you hadn't invested in those mechanics, like if you're playing it like a dodge and attack, you're gonna be frustrated as hell at the end. You're gonna be very frustrated. So as long as you embrace the suck, I think you're fine. You know, it's technically sound. It runs great, 60 frames in performance mode. It looks great. It runs smooth. Cool effects and stuff, like the weapon system works. It has a lot more good things going than bad. So I definitely would recommend it as a Game Pass title. It's just, it didn't blow me away. It was more like, this was okay. You know?
Got it.
Yeah. And then the second thing I played was this game on Game Pass that just came out. It's called War Tales, which essentially, you pick some companions, it drops into a world, and figure it out, right? You have to learn, you have to feed them, you have to engage in fights, you have to, either you're going to help, you know, refugees or rob them and stuff like that. Like, and you can determine your own world. It's like a sandbox, right? But the odd thing is that the turn-based kind of like strategy fighting, and it's like a mixture of a lot of things. And right now, it's holding my attention. If that makes sense.
I mean, so War Tales was in early access forever. I think it launched on Steam in like January. So I already played this game for like 40 hours.
Yeah.
It's the, like, the turn-based combat is really cool because the units are so different and varied and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also like, I don't know how much of it you played, but every battle starts off where your guys get placed in the field almost randomly.
Yeah.
So you don't, like, there are other games that are similar like this, like Battle Brothers, where you're like, you're used to like, these units do this, so I'm putting them here. You have like a formation that you use. In this case, yeah, you kind of have to like make everything up on the fly. Which I think is super cool. Like, so you have to know how your units relate. What are they good at? Where should I move? Like, and come up with tactics as the battle unfolds in a way that you can't expect.
And then, like, each one of the characters has the ability to learn a trait. So let's say your best blacksmith gets killed in combat. Do you start over? Or do you keep going? But now you're missing the blacksmith. You know, who are you going to train somebody else up? Like, there's a lot of those kind of like tails going around, and it runs really well, and the controls are not overwhelming, unlike like other kind of like top down strategy, like turn based games like Pillars of Eternity and stuff like that. It's not overwhelming at all on the controller. It's very welcoming, which is completely surprising to me. And right now, like, I'm maybe 3 hours in, 3-4 hours in. I've done like 10. Like contracts and stuff like that. I've done some exploring.
Have you even gotten out of the first area yet?
I did by accident, and I went back when I noticed how much everyone's rocking me in combat. But I'm really enjoying it, and I think that's it. It could be a sleeper hit if you're into that kind of stuff. I definitely don't. If you're looking for a casual play, even on the easiest setting, you're not going to like it because you have to do a lot of like resource management for this game to work. But to me, it feels like a fun sandbox where you're kind of developing your own kind of narrative of the world.
Yeah.
I'm pleasantly surprised. I think that game, it's got the average ratings on Steam is a 9 out of 10. Yeah. So people obviously like it, and I'm glad it released on Game Pass. I think a lot of people are going to find it and be very surprised at how fun it can be.
I'm really happy that they launched it on Xbox because I really want to play more of it. But I have most of the achievements on Steam. So, like, now I can go back and get Xbox achievements. So maybe play more of this. There is a story to the game.
Yes, there is. Yes,
quite. Yeah, but it's very flexible. Like, and it's what happens in the story is literally based on choices that you make in some of the key missions. So, like, you can affect what happens in the world and how it looks.
I love that. I love that. Like, and the fact that if you want to be like a bandit, right? You don't. It's not a profession, but there's a guy who's logging away like iron ore. You jump them and steal their shit. Guess what? You're a bandit. You know, it's I don't know. It's open ended. It seems like very deep. It seems extremely like a deep game. Yeah. It rewards you for exploring. It feels great. I think it's great. I think it's a fantastic. It's not as limiting as Pillars of Eternity and all those other games. I think it's great.
I saw that this game came out, and I guess I saw like a trailer for it or something, but it was like a CG trailer. I was like, oh, it looks like maybe a Skyrim or something. I didn't realize it was like isometric and tactical turn based. So that's neat.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
And then I played like 20 minutes of the climbing game too. That one's actually really cool.
We could talk about that because I finished it just before we started. So I played Jusant.
It's super short, huh?
It's probably took me about probably 3-4 hours long.
Oh wow!
It's not long at all. And I'll go back. What was that?
I played an hour. I mean, I'm almost done. That's cool.
Yeah, there's 6 chapters. I don't know. Don't know what chapter you're in, but it's pretty linear too. Like there are like branching paths, but you'll get to like it's basically like you're just exploring the area and like you're gonna go into a spot and like, oh, this is neat, like neat design and everything, but there's nothing in this room for me to do or collect, so I'll go back out and you'll figure out how to kind of progress. As the game moves on, there's some like neat mechanics where it's like if you're in the sun, you have this little buddy that's with you, and they can like make a call, and it'll spring together some like wildlife or plant life in the area to help you progress. But if it's in the sun, some of those spots will wilt away. So you got to be quick in those areas and move up. And the thing I really like about the game is the tactile climbing. So it's you're controlling your left and your right hands.
Yeah.
With the left stick and right stick.
And the rope mechanics fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's very like, it's a, you know, very physics based where, you know, you can kind of like put a clamp in into the side of the mountain and then like wall run across and jump. So there's all sorts of like neat ways of moving around the world. I liked it. I enjoyed playing it. There is from a studio, it's from Don't Nod, who did the Life is Strange games and Vampyr and Remember Me and like a bunch of other like narrative adventure games. This game has no dialogue at all. There's like world building throughout, like you're picking up notes and stuff that have like a lot of writing on them. I stopped reading them about 5 or 6 in, just didn't care anymore.
I did the same at the second one.
it's like the world is neat, but like I just don't like, obviously something has happened here. It's like a post-apocalyptic environment. You know the intro has you walking through this area and there's like boats just like in the desert. So you know that like this used to be an ocean. Clearly all the water's gone away, and now, you know, I guess really, I did not figure out what I was doing until like the end of the game. So like it's just the exploration game. I think the exploration's fun. It's really neat. Yeah. It's really short.
You know what it feels like to me? It feels like a proof of concept for what should have been a bigger game.
I mean, I think it's perfectly fine as it is, right? It's a 3 or 4 yeah. hour just experience.
It's giving me like Last Guardian kind of vibes in certain places by the angles and the scope and the music, the way they kind of like introduce it and it swells up and, you know, where like they're trying to make you fall in love with a world via this nameless character.
Yeah, I think the difference with like something like this or I also made a similar connection. It wasn't necessary for Last Guardian, but it was more like that same studio. Was that Sony Japan or whoever made those games? That did like Eco and Shadow of the Colossus. Like some mm-hmm. of them, some of the climbing stuff was like, oh, this is very similar to that. Except in those games, you had an emotional attachment, and it was very easy to understand what you were doing. It wasn't just exploring, right? Like in Shadow of the Colossus, yeah. you were trying to save the love of your life. She's dying, and like you are killing these monsters to try to save her. In The Last Guardian, you're trying to escape this prison. Eco, you're trying to save your companion. Like there is a reason for you doing it, and they don't explain what you're doing in this. So it's just like you're exploring. Yeah. It's a neat environment. It's really cool. The climbing mechanics are neat. Just why am I doing it? And you don't really figure that out until the end. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go back. Like I think there's like 80 some collectibles. I'm missing 13 of them. And there's a chapter select at the end. Like after you beat it, it's like opens it up.
Oh, that's
like,
fantastic. Yeah.
So, and it actually, thing I really like about it as well is it tells you what you're missing. So it's like there are 6 types of collectibles, and it'll tell you, you know, you are missing, you have 17 of 19 notes, or you have 2 of 3 frescoes, or you have 1 altar remaining. So it like tells you what's left. So it's like you can go and kind of hunt them down. I think I'll go hunt the final 13 items that I didn't get and just 100% the game, because it's not long. I'll probably be able to do that, you know, either tomorrow or Sunday when I get back. But yeah, I'm glad it is a Game Pass game. And I'm glad it's like cheap. Like it's I think it's $25 if you were to buy it. I think that's fine for what this game is. Like if they were like, it's $50, like get fucked.
Yeah.
It's not that game, but
it's one of the better new Unreal games, right? Isn't this running on Unreal 6?
It's definitely on Unreal. I don't know if it's Unreal 5, right? Like that's the new one.
I thought 6 was the new one.
Anyway, it's on Unreal. I don't know if it's 5, 6, or 4. I don't know. But
I'm looking it up now.
It's a good looking game. It does have that like a. It's very. I'm trying to think of like how to. It's not hyper realistic. Like they look like cartoon characters, but the world itself is very detailed and, it's neat way to explore it. So, it's a fun game. It's on Game Pass. So, if we want to climb around a bit, give it a shot. Real quick, played some more Mario Wonder. I've not made much more progress. I've been playing it at lunch on my lunch breaks at work. Because it lends itself well to like 30, 40 minute play sessions. That game is really nice. It can also be super frustrating. But by the time I'm done lunch, I'm like, yeah, like this is great. I love it. Like, because you beat the level that's been pain in your ass. And when you do, it's like, yeah, that was awesome. It's weird to have a game, a Mario game, where like levels are actually challenging, though. Normally in a normal Mario game, you can pretty much run through to the end with little challenge. And then the challenge opens up afterwards. They introduce new levels and stuff. Right from the get-go, they're like, here's a challenge level. And it'll tell you, this is a hard level. Like they have difficulty scores, like 1-star to 5-star. And you'll go in and you'll know what you have to do. Like it'll kind of lay out what you have to do. It's not always a run left to right, get to the top of the flagpole. Sometimes it's a combat gauntlet or sometimes it's a challenge where you're movement challenge or something. It's like neat way of doing things. I think it's really, really smart way of making 2D Mario kind of interesting again. I've always enjoyed 2D Mario, but this is like on another level of challenge and kind of fun. So, Tony, what else have you been playing?
So I finished Assassin's Creed Mirage, which took, I want to say, somewhere between 15 and 16 hours to get through the entire game.
That's not bad.
The promise of bite-sized Assassin's Creed is fulfilled, but bite-sized compared to the last couple of games. I think it tracks more closely to some of the early games.
I am like 15 hours into Valhalla, and I don't feel I've even really
gotten. Oh God! Yeah, you're not anywhere. In Valhalla. This game, in the opening, it makes a reference, and at the end of the game, it comes back to that reference. If they had tried something like that in Odyssey or Valhalla, it would have made absolutely no sense whatsoever. Like, I don't remember the beginning. Like, by the time I finally got to the end of Odyssey, I don't remember what happened at the beginning. Like, there's no, like, story continuity, which is, I think, the big benefit of having the game be... I don't even want to call it short. Like, 15 hours is short.
No, that's a decent length game.
But it's long enough to have, like, a really good narrative and develop it out fully. And then when you get to the conclusion, feel like the characters have been, you know, they've had their shot and they've been fully developed and you've like seen what's happened and everything makes sense. The story isn't what I expected. It's kind of cool what they do to it in the end. I think narratively it's one of the best Assassin's Creed games.
Nice.
Which I think, you know, it helps to have, you know, 15 hours to develop a story and just make one cohesive narrative. The basic premise, so there's something going on in Baghdad, and you have these three assassins' dens, and each one has a different thing going on in their area that you need to, like, figure out. It does point all the way back to, like, the original Assassin's Creed, where you're like, something's going on. I need to figure out what's happening in this area and then, you know, kill the person who's causing it. So you spend a lot of time doing missions and like interacting with people to collect information that directs you on a path to killing the right people. The story does somehow end up being about your main character, and there is a very the twist in the game at the end to reference the movie that it made me think of will ruin the twist for you. If you guys play this, then we need to discuss it afterwards because there's a very interesting thing going on. I did not see the twist coming, but okay. if you get to the end, it just I guess that makes sense. Oh my God. So I really enjoyed it. It's a whole lot of fun. An Assassin's Creed game actually about assassinating people. I wondered if there'd be a point in the game where I'd get good enough at the combat where I could just throw myself in and start massacring people. The answer is no, you'll never get that good at the combat. So you do have to, you know, be stealthy and pick your spots and learn how to use all of the equipment they give you. So it does a really good job with that stuff. I super enjoy this game. I think it was fantastic.
Great. I am looking forward to it. As mentioned, I'm kind of hoping that it'll be on the Thanksgiving Day sale. So
yeah,
there's just so much to play right now that it's like, you got to make some calls, but that's one I will fit in before the end of the year. Play anything else?
So the other game I've been playing is another Game Pass game. I guess that one wasn't a Game Pass game, but we've been playing some Game Pass games. City Skylines 2.
Oh, wow. I'm hearing mixed reviews on that one.
So I think there are some interesting things going on. So it's a city builder. If you played SimCity, you played the other City Skyline game, like it's, you know, you zone your areas, people come in, move in, and you keep building buildings, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's all awesome. But one of the more interesting thing is, you guys, I don't know how many city builders you guys play, but you kind of get like normally end up with a progression in the game. As your city grows bigger, you get to build different and new buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this one, they have like two layers to that. So the first is you have levels. So you're actually getting XP as you build portions of your city. So, you know, you build a road, get some XP. People move in, you can get some XP. People are happy, you get some XP. And that's how you level up between the levels, which unlocks all of the basic buildings. But as you level up, you also get points, which you can use to buy other kinds of buildings in this like tech tree. Which I have never actually played a city builder that had a tech tree like this before, where you're literally like, I mean, kind of like an Assassin's Creed game where you're like picking your skill. You're literally like picking your next thing to develop. So like, I want to get this sort of power line, which will then I can use more XP to buy this hydroelectric dam, or I think airport is one of the ones where you can like level up to. You can unlock a train and then use that later on to unlock subways. Kind of a weird progression system where I'm sort of normally used to just like, all right, my city got to a certain size, now I can afford to build subways and I've unlocked subways. Odd choicing there. Is it good? I don't know if it's good. It kind of lets you direct your city in a certain way. The other thing you get as you level up are points you can use to buy more tiles. So when you start off, your city is like locked to this small area. And as you level up, you can use those points to add tiles to that area and make it larger and larger. One of the interesting things about this game is, I mean, there's a map that your city exists on. But you can buy the tiles from anywhere on the map. So you don't have to have them be contiguous.
Okay.
So you could build like one little city over here and another one over here. You could choose to buy this tile over here, which is covered in forest. One of the things in the game economy is natural resources. Like you can build the right sorts of industry to chop down those trees and then sell them somewhere else. Or maybe this tile over here has a lot of iron. And so you can build some iron mines here and sell the iron to help your city economy. The third thing about leveling up is it gives you like a buttload of cash. So the entire time I've been playing, my city has been running at a huge budget deficit. Like, I just build whatever I want all the time because I don't need to actually have a balanced budget. Because every time I level up, the game gives me like $500,000 or $750,000 or $1 million, which is what I used to actually buy all my stuff. Whereas my city itself is actually losing something like $1,000 an hour as time moves on. Fun stuff with leveling up. I think it's cool. Like, it's a nice sublime experience, and that's all good. There's some weird graphical issues. I'm not a frame rate whore. I'm not.
Yeah.
But there are times when it does slow down. There are other times when you like hit a certain time of day and the lighting in the game is just weird. Like, the shadows don't make any sense. Like, they're like vibrating. It's just very, very strange.
It's a little weird.
there are definitely some things in the technical end of this game that need to be completed. It's definitely a work in progress. I don't know. I saw people online blaming, like, the game has people like walking around, and people were saying that the people who are walking around are too detailed and it's using up too many of your PC's resources. One of the fun things about the people, though, is you can follow them. Like, so the game has, it's not called Twitter. I don't know what they call it, but there's like a social media site with a blue bird. but you can follow your, like, individuals from your city. And see how they're doing, and like, okay, he's going to work, and like, see them tweeting about it. It's kind of a weird concept. There's also a radio station that's playing as you're playing the game, and sometimes it plays music. Other times it plays these weird like interviews about your city, which may or may not say like the correct things. Like, they'll talk about like the level of violence, or like how your city's educational system is not very good or is very good. And you look at the actual statistic screens and it'll be like, that's just wrong. It's not what you're saying. Isn't true. Or they'll have like an interview with like a famous scientist. And then like 20 minutes later, they'll have the same exact interview over again. So they need to like add some more content to that radio station. There's just not enough. Based on the time that you just like spend playing the game, it cycles through too quickly. But actually, you know, building your city and watching people move in, like, it's still so satisfying. It's one of those like things when you go back to the original city, and it's just nice to sit down and play through all that. And I mean, you can just turn on your music and ignore the radio; it'll be fine. And the graphic issues aren't like fantastic, but they're not game breaking. Like, you can play it.
You're playing it on PC?
I'm playing on PC, yeah.
I don't think it's out on console just yet.
No. Yeah, I think they announced it, but it's not out.
Yeah, it got delayed.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to playing it at some point. Hope they fix some of those technical flaws by the time I get around to it, but it seems like it's... They don't make a lot of these anymore, so
yeah, you know, there aren't a ton of options. So
kind of the option we have,
the ones you get.
Yeah, and the Steam community turned on it because it's even on the most biggest rig you can have, it's having all kinds of tech issues. And apparently, I was quickly reading some of the mixed reviews. They're saying some of the simulation aspect of it, the physics need to be corrected. Apparently, a lot of weird shit's happening. They shouldn't be.
The thing with you know, cities in general is that they're gonna do a ton of work on it over time. Like,
yeah.
It just sucks that it sucks that it released like every other game released, that it's a little bit not as super polished as you'd expect, but I mean, they did so much work with City Skylines, the original one, that
yeah, and there were so many expansions and so much added content to that game. Like, I have full confidence that they'll get there, but I don't know. It's playable. Like, it's playable. It's definitely playable. And it does have some interesting quality of life features. I do like, for instance, if you're like building roads, it gives you the grid. So you can see like the angle that you are from the road that you were building from. So you can say, oh, this is a 90 degree angle. So that you know that you're building your cities in a, your like blocks in a perfect block.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is cool. I like stuff like that. That makes it easier to, and it gives you like lines. So you can see like the ends of the roads as you add more sets of roads to your city. So you can build the grid properly. There are also like buildings that have like expansions. So you can add like another wing to the hospital or like an ambulance bay to a clinic or something like that, which you literally build onto the map and it like appears. So it's not just it's not just like it's also cosmetic in addition to being like a bonus statistically. Yeah. It's cool,
but it's neat that it gets that granular with it, that it's like you can do this adjustment to these buildings and
like you can build a high school and then build like a sporting complex for the high school next door.
That's pretty cool.
It sounds like the typical like 2022 2023 issue where the game isn't optimized on release. Yeah. and the super fans, that people who are like marked on the calendars of the people like are disappointed because it doesn't live up to expectations. Where I think we live in the age now where like Lords of the Fallen, I'll probably like that game a year from now. Yeah. You know,
and so many games launch like this now. It's like it's almost
it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like Nintendo, like, you know, people get mad at them for their like the long time between releases, but their games come out solid, man. And unfortunately, they can afford that. Most companies can't.
Yeah, because their games are going to almost always sell multi-million dollars of copies. Like,
yes. Yes.
So, yeah. I'm looking forward to eventually getting the City Skylines 2 at some point, so... I guess that's it for this week. I will maybe have Alan Wake next week. It's weird that none of us played Spider-Man yet.
I have it. I just haven't.
Yeah, it's similar to Assassin's Creed Mirage. It's like, I should play this, but I have so many other things to play. I'm just not going to get it yet. And like, you have it. Yeah. Just. You know, you finish Mirage, which was the right thing to do.
Right. And it's weird to like play another open world game. Like, I need something else in the middle.
Yeah. Although like I was making faces hearing Jeff's impressions of Spider-Man 2. Because literally his issues with Spider-Man 2 are the reason they made a Spider-Man 2. Because Spider-Man 1, the formula of Spider-Man 1 was perfected so well that this one just kind of like, they make sure the set pieces are bigger this time around.
I get it. I also get Jeff's, his criticism of it. It's just like, he doesn't need that type of game anymore, doesn't want that type of game anymore, and it's like...
Yeah.
It sucks when you're like, he was looking forward to Spider-Man, and then it just doesn't click because like you've moved on as a gamer from that type of game.
Yep, I think. But when from the development side, right? When they're like, we're making a God of War, we're making a Spider-Man. We want the player to feel like Kratos. We want the player to feel like Spider-Man.
Yeah,
these kind of formulas work for that intent, and it's just. I get where people... I understand where he's coming from, but at the same time, it's like, dude, you should have known that before you put the money down. You know, like...
We'll say I've heard multiple people complain about how the game is basically a movie to start. Like, once it opens up, it becomes more of a game. But it is really just like an interactive cutscene to start the game. And, like, that is... We gotta find a way to make that stuff playable.
That's true. That's true. But still, like, I guess we're not there yet, right? Like,
no, clearly not.
I mean, people are still struggling to get the most out of these consoles, and overnight, boom, PC came out, and they're already like twice as powerful again. You know, so it's. I think that window passed. I think this is as good as it's gonna get for now. Oh. Well, technically, Alan Wake's as good as it's going to get for now. But I don't think we're... That promise of the next true generational game just isn't around the corner or here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get there at some point. It's just...
Yeah.
I am still hoping that Spider-Man 2 is fun. I expect...
Oh, me too.
Once I'm swinging around the city and... using the wingsuit and beating up bad guys as Miles and Peter, that I'll have a good time with it.
The Easter eggs alone in the first one made it so fun for me because I'm such a big comic book nerd. But for some reason, I ended up playing Death Stranded Director's Cut because I got it for like $9 on a sale on PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And I'm still playing through that, and I have like a handful of other games. And I'm like, you know what, let me... And then... a friend of mine told me, hey, you should get back into Halo Infinite. It's really good. I'll play with you. And then he completely stood me up. Doesn't play with me anymore.
That's not how that went down.
That's how my heart felt it.
You were like, I should play Call of Duty. And I was like, or you could play Halo since you already have it. You're like, that's true. And I was like, I will play with you if you want. And then you've never asked me to play with you. You've complained about me not playing with you.
It would be nice if you said, hey, Walt, let's play. Like, why did I always have to, like, I feel like I'm bothering you to play.
You're not bothered, but you do need to schedule yourself. we've played once, and this Tony as well, we've played one game in the last 3 months together. Like,
that's right.
It was true. A dumb animal game. Like,
yeah, it's been crazy.
It's like... Unfortunately, we do need to like kind of like this is when we want to play, and then make sure we pencil that in.
Cause... By the way, Walter, it was me who put that together, so I'm just saying that maybe next time it's your turn.
Yeah, right. It's just weird how Tony and I spent pretty much the entire pandemic playing Apex nightly.
That's true.
And now we don't play anything at all.
The world's open back up, Walt.
That's right. We can get back out in the world.
I know. It's just strange how that you know, changed. Plus, we're all adults and we're busy, so I get it. I'm just teasing everybody.
Yeah, that's the hard part. It's like, and I'd love to like be able to. I wish I was, you know, 23 years old again and could just like come home after working a 5-hour shift somewhere. Like, just play Halo and just for hours.
Fuck the pizza and play the rest of the night. Yeah, yeah, dude, I get it. We just can't do that anymore. But yeah, there's so many options out there. I guess that's the bigger point I'm making here. And for some reason, I let my backlog become priority right now during like the busiest, which, I mean, in the long run, it's going to save me money, right? Because I pick these games up on sale or down the line. So it's not too bad.
Yep, I mean, if you haven't picked up, you know, Assassin's Creed or some stuff from earlier in the year, like, all that stuff should be going on sale, you know, right before the holidays, so you can maybe get yourself a deal on some new stuff. No reason to pick up games that you aren't gonna play.
Yeah, this is definitely a generation where, like, rushing to pick up a new title, that stuff, you end up losing out on money that way, and you never know. It's a coin flip. It's going to come out running well or playable at all right now, which sucks. It sucks to think of that. Like, a game comes out, like, remember how we were all like, oh shit, if Starfield is remotely playable, it would be a win.
And it was, right? Dominated play for like a month of our time, but I think everybody's kind of moved on to other stuff now, but...
No, but I mean, like, it's rare to have a game come out and it's playable day one. I guess that's the bigger point, you know?
Yeah, because, like, even you mentioned Alan Wake, but, you know, even that seemed to have, like, some tech problems on console, which is one of the reasons I haven't played it yet. And even though I did pick it up. It's like, it's next on the list. They did just patch it, so.
Yeah, I think the audio issue was the main one for the Xbox. That's why I was asking you if you experienced it. Apparently, audio just disappears completely.
Yeah, I heard, people complaining about that. Like,
and you had to restart the game and then shut down, restart the console a few times in order to hopefully get it to work.
But I'm looking forward to playing that. I'll have some of that next week, hopefully. Jeff will be back. Maybe he'll talk more about Spider-Man. I doubt it. He seemed to not enjoy Spider-Man. And he's playing Dark Souls 3 now for some reason. But we'll be back next week. Walt, say goodnight.
Buenas noches.